This episode of Super GG Radio is brought to you by our Patreon. Patrons of the show can get our Dogs of Super GG Radio newsletter, Super GG Radio stickers to slap on your closest PC or bag, input on what we cover, game nights with the hosts, and even a chance to win a copy of an indie we talked about. Not only that, but 90% of all patron contributions go to the Children's Miracle Network of Hospitals. Visit patreon.com/superggradio to learn more.
Previously on Super GG Radio.
You were talking about Not Tonight. And I'm like, well, I should probably play Not Tonight too.
Alex is the voice of reason, and he's not even there.
No. Yeah, I'm just going to say it out loud. Barfing cat emoji.
Hey, remember that rumor I told you about a week or two ago?
No.
I can pull up the doc.
We don't comment on rumors or speculation.
Yeah, exactly. I heard somebody talk about something, and I talked about it.
And then you were like, I hate rumors. And I said, okay.
What's good, internet, and welcome to session 251 of Super GG Radio, where friends chat about video games and all things adjacent. I'm your host and trucker hat with an obscure video game of the podcast, Eric Getty Gettinger. With me, as always, is premium flat brim hat with a gold sticker, Alex Arona.
I like my hats like I like my games. You wrote me this, like, I don't even know what this sentence means, so I'm going to say... I like my hat like I like my games. The word hentai on them.
Can we hit him for that one? Can he say that?
I mean,
buy you that hat too. So many times I've seen that hat, and I was like, I should probably buy this for Getty.
It's not a swear.
I know it's not a swear, but it. All right.
It was upsetting.
I'm just wondering. We've said some really weird and questionable stuff, like the stuff that Joel got away with last week.
Oh, man. He was off the rails.
Yeah. Did we get canceled?
Well, with this Rum and Coke Zero I got going.
Did he get canceled?
I'm shooting for it. I have a good setup for a later segment. Don't worry.
All right. Well,
yep.
You know, Alex, I hope you never purchase one of those hats, but aren't you also Alex Day One Arona?
Oh, I would put that on a hat.
I might
put
get
that
you
on a hat.
I might get you that hat. But what would it say? Like day one on the front or day one on the back? Or does it should say?
No, I think you put all four words on top of each other, block letter style. Alex Day One Arona. Boom, like a wall of text.
Okay.
Bold.
All right.
Like just like me.
This week we also have warm and comfy beanie of the podcast, Alec Parks.
I kind of wish I was wearing my beanie right now. I love to feel warm and to have my ears covered. It's the best.
And to make your scalp sweat.
No, that's just you.
Yeah, that's a weird thing.
I run hot, guys. I run real hot.
All right.
I also like hats, though. And this is probably the second best hat opening we've had.
You know what?
You had some good hats, though. You've had some real good hats. You had some, like, Sherlock hats for a while.
Yeah.
You were originally wearing dad hats before you were a dad. That's just really, like, let's call a spade a spade.
I will definitely take second best hat opening. Yeah, if you're watching us live, you have realized that we lost Joel again this week because... he didn't want to be here. Alex.
He throws off the leash, man. He throws off that leash, and then he is chasing cars like no tomorrow.
Alex. He didn't want to be here.
And yet he wrote three or four previews today.
What is he doing with his life?
He's hustling is what he's doing.
Oh, I guess. He's sending mixed signals, if you ask me. This week, we have a three-way in early adopters. Yep, I know that sounded bad. I may have played two or more. That's right. One of them wasn't there on Sunday. News stuff? We got news this week, do we? Hold on. Holy cow. There's news. All right. We'll keep the news segment. And then we do something in the backlog. Probably Alec has something, right?
Alec. No, it's the exact opposite. Alec played all the games.
Alec has to have something, right?
One of these games. Oh, one these, maybe.
One of these games.
Yeah.
Maybe.
We'll get there, hopefully. I don't know. We're doing a podcast this week, I guess.
Much like we do every week.
Nah, this is circumstantial at best. I don't know about any podcast, and I never asked for it. Okay, a first segment of the night, Early Adopters, where we play alphas, betas, and games that lock us onto the action. Yep. I'm talking about Luna Abyss. Is that really the name? Luna Abyss?
Luna Abyss!
Y'all played Luna Abyss this week?
Oh, yes.
Kind of.
So we got a first-person shooter here, and it's got a gritty, dark, space futuristic-y setting. And the first thing it made me think was, why do I need Halo when I could play a game like this?
I was actually going to ask, is this Metroid Prime? I've never played a Metroid Prime.
It's Metroid Prime.
Okay.
I mean, the combat is a little different from a Metroid Prime. The combat seems more inspired by bullet hells, where you've just got hordes of obstacles coming at you and you're dodging them. They're slow moving, but there's a significant number. And that's definitely different from Metroid series.
Yeah. I don't know if anybody ended up playing Returnal.
No.
You know that I did.
No, you didn't. You didn't finish it, so it doesn't count as playing it.
Okay, so playing like 5 hours doesn't count.
No,
okay.
It doesn't. That game was rough stuff. But much the way that Alec described it, it is bullet hell in that regard. Even the way that the monsters from Returnal would shoot at you, like either in a spiral pattern or many in one area, or even like a burst shot. It just reminded me of Returnal and having to dodge around and try and avoid it all the while shooting at the enemies. But with the lock-on ability, it made it significantly easier to kill enemies with either of the weapons that you had. And let me tell you, I prefer that shotgun.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Shotgun was definitely more preferable. You could move a little faster, do a lot more damage. But I definitely had, I was very like concerned the amount of how everything was just all wet all the time.
No, that seemed natural. You're on a spaceship, I think. And
I think.
I want everything to be at least moist.
Yeah, it felt like everything had a very, like a dewy, gunky look to it, and I didn't love that. But that's the aesthetic, obviously.
And then shooting crystals and stuff. I don't even know what shooting those crystals did, but it made me feel like a man.
Were they crystals or were they like growths?
Two different things. So there is like right off the bat, there really isn't too much platforming action that happens in Luna Abyss, but it does take you on different paths and encounter some creepy and gross elements to this spaceship. You're directly speaking to these like spiky balls that were stuck to bridges. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Oh yeah. Gross.
And I had to destroy them all, even if they weren't in my way.
Oh yes.
Yeah, we're all in agreement there.
Okay.
I didn't need to do it, but I did it.
Every time.
And it felt badass.
Yeah, it did.
So what'd you guys think about the monsters and the designs that you, saw?
I even thought that, like, the humans, not they weren't really humans, but, like, the idea of, like, this is all of my compatriots, they look real weird, too, because they're, like, white face and like, very, like, sunken deep, like, basically just voids for eyes. So it definitely had, like, an alien feel to it, and then the enemies were, I feel like this whole thing, the whole game, is it screams a really good like kind of gross space aesthetic, like an Aliens aesthetic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it, you said humans, but I don't think you're in your original body, because when you wake up, that's one of the first things you say is, what happened to my body?
Okay.
And I, because you're actually a prisoner, and you're under, you're serving out your prison sentence.
Yeah, do you like the prison sentence, like, counter that was in one of the corners? 9,000
And in the pause menu.
Yeah. Like, you have a little bit of time that you need to serve here, so best just do whatever the disembodied voice asks you to do.
Because they've got your number.
Yeah. This, I was a little sad the way that it, like, cut off there at the end, but I for sure see a lot of potential in Luna Abyss. I would, again, why do I need Halo? I could just play this, and I'm sure it would be cheaper than forking over money for, you know, that Halo money. Cause
that Game Pass money.
Everybody's got Halo money.
You'll never get my money, Phil Spencer.
Microsoft bucks. I wonder if we could get some Microsoft bucks. I wonder if we could get... Is it still possible to get Zuck bucks? Did you guys... You guys got paid out by Mark Zuckerberg, right?
Yeah. Oh,
I absolutely did. Yeah.
Man, I need to see if I can get some more of that. Maybe some Mark Zuckerberg money.
I could go for Mark Zuckerberg money.
Yeah, so completely unrelated. What do you guys want to talk about next? You want your point and click, or you want your what?
You know what I mean? I'm game for the what?
All right, so we definitely played a what game this week, and it was What the Car.
Yep, What the Car. The follow-up, I had kind of made mention to you, Getty, that certain games were stuck on Apple Arcade. In the news, we'll discuss one of those as well, but What the Car is one of them that used to be on Apple Arcade that is now getting freed up to Steam and all other platforms. And in this case, like What the Golf, you will have a car and you have to drive from the start to the end goal, but each level is just increasingly more ridiculous. Alec, you had made reference to some of them. What were some of your favorite level themes?
Oh, well, I liked the ones where you had the propulsion that was separate from just going. There was the car with a cold and
car with a cold
car on car on office chairs.
Mm-hmm.
With the car on office chairs, you had a rocket that you used to propel yourself forward and go faster. And a car with a cold, you were going backwards and you would sneeze to go faster.
Perfect. Yeah, I think that they're really creative with these things. I have originally played What the Golf and What the Bat, and each time they just kind of get like sillier and sillier, and they really play with what you think the game will be. You know, just going from, you think going from point A to point B is like, oh yeah, they keep doing ridiculous things, but it's like at a certain point the level will almost guaranteed be, oh, now you're the goal, you have to get to the car. You know what I mean? Mess with your expectations.
And I like that What the Car also had some not just straightforward running levels. They had one where you were on one of those kiddie teeter-totter rides that you see at playgrounds, and you had to go back and swing yourself back and forth and then launch yourself at the goal off of the kiddie ride.
I wasn't good at that one.
I wasn't either. It took me like 3 tries.
But it does have also that like real quick snappy just hit replay real fast and you're back in.
Yep.
These are perfectly bite-sized levels.
So I had always wondered what it would be like to do hard drugs. And then I played What the Car, and I was not disappointed. It starts out very simply. It's like, all right, you're a car. And then they're like, nah, just kidding. You have legs. So then you have to run to the goal. And then the next level's like, the best part of this is that it introduces the car or your character at the beginning of most levels. So it says like, car with legs. And then the second one's car with too many legs. And it's just too many legs.
And you're just rolling.
Yeah, you're just rolling and you're trying to make it to the goal. And these little cute bears, they're like holding signs. They're like, yeah, we love car. And then you're running into them. Oh my gosh.
It's horrifying.
It's terrifying.
Yeah.
Like those poor bears. I'm running into. Yeah, but you get rockets. You get office chairs like Alec had told us. Alex, did you have a particular one that you fell in love with in this demo?
Oh, I like
the umbrella, isn't it?
No, I actually like the too many legs. You said my favorite one just because you're like, it felt like you were just a horrifying monster of a creature and just rolling, like with each leg just falling over each other. It felt like a horror movie.
And it's true. It was like a horror movie. And then after you make it all the way through the stages that it gives you, it's like, hey, let's go hang out in the bear cave. And I was like, oh, I could hang out in the bear cave. And I found the developer's room, and it's like, do you like a hard level? So I played that.
Oh, no.
The skull level.
I did not find that one. What was it
yeah,
like?
Yeah, I didn't find that one.
Either. I had an umbrella. But it had diverging paths, so if you didn't go the right way, then you would have to, like, circle back and go around. And it also had... I don't know how to describe it, but it had like, maybe they were bears, maybe they were wiener dogs, but they were just like moving around in a circle and they could knock you off the edges. So you had to go around those guys, more of those like charge ramps that'll help you fly, and then busted out the umbrella and I was just gliding down Mary Poppins style.
Mary Poppins, y'all.
Oh yeah, I do remember the umbrella where you had to catch the gust of wind. Yeah, that was a fun one, for sure.
Yeah. So, this is what the car. It is worth checking out, 100%. I wish listed the last two. I don't know about you guys. Double wish lists all around?
Yeah.
I wish listed all three.
All three? You're getting ahead of yourself.
I never played
there.
A Metroid Prime, so I said this seems like a good time.
All right, so last one that we played, I didn't have the greatest experience with this. I'll probably pass it off to you guys at some point, but Phoenix Springs. So Phoenix Springs is point-and-click adventure game from the perspective of... I really didn't get that far because I ran into a couple of glitches that prevented me from progressing the story. Mm-hmm. I want to say the sister of...
Someone that had gone missing.
Yeah, somebody that had gone missing. And you are in a futuristic, almost Big Brother-like society. The colors very muted to begin with, but the way that you interact with the objects is really kind of neat. Being able to click on an object and then being given three options. And you can combine it with different elements as you find them in your exploration. So Phoenix Springs, I only got to the second area, and then it was like, I got locked in one spot. I went over to the side of the house, and I couldn't get, I talked to the kid, and then I couldn't get away. Like, I was clicking every button.
No.
I'd exit the game, I came back in, and I was still stuck there. So I was just stuck talking to a little kid, a poor guy, probably thought I was a psychopath.
So these games are my jam, for sure. I like the sci-fi noir tales, especially point-and-click style. I've probably played like 8 or 9 of these types of games. Just here for the story. I'm here for the plot and the lore. And in this case, it is very interesting to give yourself... Like, it goes back to not Grim Fandango, but some of the older ones that came before it, like the Day of the Tentacle, where they actually give you a reaction... actions. So you can look, talk, or
interact.
And you can use those in different facets. But then at the same time, once you're like, oh, like for instance, they go, okay, use the computer. And I use it, turns on the computer. And it says, what should I search for? And there's no options.
Yeah.
Go to the, there's a bunch of boxes. Search and interact with the files. Oh, here's my brother's address. Go back to the computer. Now there's a brother's address as a selection. Use that plus computer equates to He was like, oh, I'm going to go research my brother's address and information there. And then that moves the plot forward. It's about finding and interacting with these things. Once you discover something like your brother's address or more information, it puts it in like just a word bank for you. And right clicking will open up the entire word bank, and you can just pick things and say, like, because in your section, getting where you got stuck, you were supposed to try to talk to the neighbor. And with all the information, say, you got from the neighbor, you'd bring to the kid.
Okay.
And then the kid would then, you know, you kind of keep expanding that way.
Right.
But the idea was to try to, you couldn't talk to the neighbor unless you talked to the kid, but you only could, like, it just kind of kept going back and forth. Yeah. You really had to go through the
Because you would steps. Have to get pieces of information from one of them and then bring it to the other one. That makes sense. I just had that technical difficulty. I could not disengage from it, and I tried all of the key commands. I tried everything I knew, but I was just stuck, locked in conversation. And I was kind of bummed by it. I didn't have a chance to go back and restart and do it again.
Yep, so I think that this is a very, like, this is a fun idea. I didn't get very far just because I said, well, it sold me. I know what I'm looking at with this kind of game of trying to figure out what happened to your brother, and then you find out his apartment has been, he hasn't been in his apartment for a long time, and it was condemned. There are tribes of homeless kids that will break in and then try to sell your stuff back.
Tribes.
So, yeah, groups of them.
Just youths? Youths?
The youths. The youths.
Going around and breaking into houses at night?
And then trying to sell you that stuff. Yeah, so they're like, oh, you boy. Talk to the youths, they'll try to sell you some stuff. Don't worry, that was probably your brother's. It's like, oh, okay.
Great. Yeah, don't love that experience, but...
Yeah, but I mean, again, that gives you the information where, like, you know, if you, like, offer them some money, but do you have to have money, and you have to know what you're doing, where to get it from, and blah, blah, blah. So it's all about the steps you take. I'm in it for the story, and already the mystery was kind of building where the neighbor was talking about, like, yeah, I don't know where he went, but something happened because there were some people here, and now they're gone, and then all of a sudden he left really fast. It's, you know, there's a good... like mystery building, and then on top of that, your character is always kind of like reminiscing. There's always like a think or like talk, you know, object, like, oh, I'm gonna talk to this painting, and then she goes, like, she kind of gives her own musing on it, giving her like a mysterious perspective. She always feels like she's like aloof, but also something's going on.
I was trying to upset her by asking her to talk to objects.
Oh yeah,
I always love.
I'm not going to do that.
Not having that. A couple of times, she like looked at the screen. I was like, "Come on, just let me have this."
Breaking the fourth wall there.
Yep, for sure. All right, so that was Phoenix Springs. Played some good ones this week, guys. So let's just
again calmly, a triple wish list for me.
Calmly, nicely park our cars. Not with too many legs, just regular cars.
Oh, God.
And take a break. We're back, and this is the news with Super GG Radio, now with 5% more Silk Song coverage. That's right, Silk Song is a game that might come out eventually.
R.I.P. Mary Kish.
Did you send a picture of her crying to our chat? Is that what that was?
Yes.
Goodness gracious.
She called Silk Song real hard. She said, "Silk Song, it's happening," and then cried.
Yeah, but in Silk Song news, it has now been rated in Australia, which means it's getting there. Like, that's a requirement for release. You have to receive a rating, don't you?
Yes, yep. And oftentimes they require the game to be done
before it can get a rating.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you don't want to sneak stuff in at the last second.
Yep.
Alex, looking at you.
I know what you're referring to. Silk Song is going to be awesome. I'm very excited.
I was talking about sneaking things in at the last moment.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I'm awesome. Sure.
Mm-hmm. I'm awesome.
That's, has nothing to do with anything. What are you talking about? All right. Other news. Per IGN, reputable news source, probably not fraudulent, Keanu Reeves will be cast as Shadow the Hedgehog in Sonic the Hedgehog 3.
Is cast.
Movie.
That will be.
Is. Well, it's. I'm just reading what it says here. It says will be cast.
I know. I'm correcting the news.
Oh.
Live correction.
Why would you why would you tell the news that it's wrong? he's so sad right now.
I am.
He's just going to show up at my house and punch me right in the throat, huh?
I know where you live.
That's what I said. I said, you're going to show up here.
No matter, they're really trying hard. I will say about the news articles that they're really trying hard to make me care about Sonic the Hedgehog, the movie.
All right. And is it working?
I refuse.
You refuse? Do you reject?
You put the man of men, Idris Elba, in Sonic the Hedgehog 2.
And?
Like, why would you put him? That man is an Adonis. He deserves better. Then, now you're disrespecting Keanu Reeves with this.
We as a society
need to respect these gentlemen.
I haven't seen
and
any
we
of
are
movies.
Doing them a vast disservice.
All I know is the guy that was in Parks and Rec and he was like always singing, John Ralphio. He's in Sonic the Hedgehog, right?
Yeah, he probably deserves this.
I don't know what them... Isn't James Marsden in Sonic the Hedgehog?
He also deserves this.
He does not deserve this.
For what he did to Cyclops, this is his penance.
He
and that's
didn't
where I stand.
Do that to Cyclops.
That is, this is where I stand, Getty. He disrespected... He shot first.
Marsden so did Han Solo.
Shot first.
He did not.
You saw what he did to our man Cyclops.
You
saw what he did.
Marvel has been all uppity about Cyclops.
Come at me, Marston.
All of these,
Come at me, Marston.
I hope he does. I'll help him hold you down.
Go be Lois Lane's boyfriend again.
There you go.
Watch Superman do everything for you.
You're really sassy tonight, huh?
I'm feeling pretty good. I'm feeling pretty good.
These poor celebrities, next? They did nothing to you, and you have an opinion Marston about everyone.
Marston did something to me.
What?
I told you.
He awakened something in you.
He did. No, he did that to Cyclops.
He didn't do it to you. He did it to Cyclops.
Yeah, which also meant he did that to
America.
Yeah,
but Alex had to watch, so.
He did that to the world. He deserves Sonic the Hedgehog.
Uh-huh, sure, yeah. He wrote into the script that he would die at the beginning of that third
movie. Did you
ever
see The Jury?
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah, the man
he's pretty good. Marsden's pretty good in that
he's
one.
He's a good actor. I don't know what you're talking about.
I didn't say that. I said he's pretty good in The Jury. End of list.
No. You know what?
He gets one credit for me.
There's other news to talk
let's
about.
Go.
You guys know Golden Axe?
Oh, yeah.
The game?
Sure do. The real good Sega Genesis game. Real serious about Vikings and other stuff. What's going on with it?
Well, according to the news, it's going to be an animated series coming to Comedy Central with Matthew Rhys and Danny Pudi on the voice cast.
I don't know who these people are.
I know
Abed from Community.
Yeah.
Okay.
Daniel. Or
that's
Danny Pudi. And then I don't know the other guy.
You don't know Matthew Rhys?
I don't know. Maybe I do. I can't think of who he is.
I'll give you a name in a second.
Are you using the internet?
Of course I am.
Are you Googling?
No, he's IMDBing.
No, he went to Google and typed in the name. No, he copied and pasted
not.
The name.
You know what I did? You
what
know
did
what
you
I
do?
Did, I copied and pasted the name.
Yeah, into Google.
Yep.
And? And?
I don't. Yeah, I was like, you guys don't know Matthew Rhys, and then I looked through his list, and I'm like, I haven't seen that. I haven't seen that.
Okay.
I haven't seen that.
So some guy that we're not very familiar with, and then another guy who I do like to see when he's acting. He just hasn't been.
Oh, he wasn't the nice guy in Girls. He wasn't great in Girls.
I don't know what Girls is.
Oh, that's a good show.
Where was that on? Where did it air?
HBO.
What's HBO? The home box office.
Mm-hmm.
How dare you!
It was pre-Max.
No. It wasn't always called Max. It's something else.
Because that goes better.
I can't remember what it was called before. Yeah. Fine. Potentially, this could be good. I expect crude humor from it.
Oh, of course. It's just weird. Like, you know, they're going to be talking about modern stuff. Like, making making really offensive jokes all over the place.
What kind of jokes?
Fart jokes.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. You don't need that for Golden Axe. Feels weird.
I do.
I don't.
I need those jokes. Man. All right. We got Sony PlayStation Interface coming to PC, complete with trophies. Just...
Yep. This is getting you prepared for a PC. They're really kind of trying to integrate that way. Also, just go... What?
I said okay.
And they're also pushing the... This goes into their, like, oh, we're really trying to push PC forward. We're saying we're PC people now.
Okay.
So.
Well, I mean, most of their exclusives are coming out on Steam, so.
Yeah, it's just that they've been fighting the pivot harder than anybody.
Do what you gotta do, man.
I guess not harder than Nintendo, right?
Yeah.
But they've been pushing pretty hard on that, fighting back against it. They said they don't want to devalue their properties.
Yeah. Okay. New stuff, man.
Mm-hmm.
Next piece of news. There was a Indie Direct?
Yes, there was.
Is that Nintendo Indie Direct?
Mm-hmm.
All right. The wording on this is funny. There were some games... couple of games that I know that I'm excited about. I don't know about you fellas, but
I only picked the ones that I thought you would like, so there was a lot more than this.
I know two of these. I know a third one from a beta breakdown, and then I feel like I should know this fourth one, but we'll go through them. So we have Steam World Heist 2. If you are not familiar with it, the original was set in space. You are robots just going from battle map to battle map, turn-based, similar to the game Worms from back in the day. But this time, now you have a like little craft, and you're pirates, and you're sailing... I think you're pirates? I mean, you were space pirates in the first one. Let's be fair. Okay?
So now you're actual pirates.
I think you're actual pirates. Like, yo-ho and a bunch of salt water in your slacks.
Pirates. Yeah, because you're doing actually like ship stuff.
Ship stuff. You could hang out on the ship in the first one, but it was a spaceship.
No, I'm saying now you're on the ocean.
Yeah. Ocean ships. Different from spaceships.
This was a big surprise for a lot of people, though. So
I really wanted to play that last one that they had put out, but I didn't make it around to it. So SteamWorld, yeah, they got a lot of good stuff that they've put out.
The City Builder.
Yeah, the City Builder, but they've done... the one that's kind of like Dig Dug a little bit, because you're digging further into the earth and finding parts, scrap, refining it and selling it for money, upgrading your character, you know. And then they had Steam World Heist, and there was also that card battler that they put out. They like to dip their toes in a lot of different stuff. All right. Then we have Europa. I don't know if I know this one.
We played this on the show.
Who did? Who played this?
Yeah, at least me and Joel did. I think this was during the time that this is a Steam Next Fest demo. So when there was like seven of them and we each took like three of them.
All right.
Europa is more of like a third person kind of like adventure game, just kind of exploring some light platforming. Puzzle solving, but otherwise just kind of beautifully crafted, a little bit Studio Ghibli. Very exciting. It's got a lot of good buzz right now.
Oh, that didn't age well, though. They had an announcement back in December that they was releasing on April 16th. I think that passed.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yes, they pushed back the date. Now their date, it's still 2024.
Yep.
But
I mean, again, I still... I'm okay with it. This game looked good, played good. Like this was just the most recent Steam Next Fest, so they have a decent working demo. I gotta assume that it's probably gonna come out this year.
The hype is real.
Yeah.
We also have Valley Peaks. Alex did a beta breakdown on this one. Yeah.
Yep. You should check it out on our YouTube channel. First person. One button for the left hand, one button for the right hand, and you're climbing. It's one of them cozy games that everyone says. It's mountain climbing, but you'll see it's not like it's not freehand. You'll see little grab holds, and you're supposed to be moving along them. And like a lot of mountain, like an actual like rock climbing people, because I have interacted with the rock climbing community.
The peeps.
You'll see a bunch of handhelds and footholds, but they're colored, so like easier will be this color, harder will be this color, and they have different routes throughout each like different piece of thing that you're climbing. And doing so, there's quests, there's little towns, you can talk to a lot of people. It's very cute. You're a frog, everyone's different frog people. It's just lovely.
Yay, frog people.
Yeah. And this is one of the ones we found off of itch.io, so now we're calling this one big time. I think this is going to be a very good game.
All right.
Alex, day one, Arona.
It's true. Day one.
Calling it.
And last piece of news worth, last indie game worth talking about, at least for me, Cat Quest 3. Yeah.
There is also a demo everywhere.
No demo on Steam.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, really?
That would make a lick of sense.
That's not nice. Cat Quest. You play as a cat. You go around. Action RPG. That's it.
They've only improved the visuals as they've come along. This looks great.
Yeah, I'm excited for Cat Quest 3.
I've played the Caribbean.
All of the Cat Quest games so far. And each time, they hook me in. Worth checking out.
You just like cat games.
I like cat games. I did play that dog game that we talked about in Freebies a few weeks ago.
Oh, did you?
I played through the whole thing.
I gotta do it. It's not on the big list, is it?
It's, yeah. I could live in that game. All right. We're moving over to Rumor Mill. Good old rumor mill, where we just come up with stuff and hope that it comes true.
That's not true.
Isn't it?
It's not wrong. It's
I don't just make it up. I hear it from people, from news sources,
mm-hmm.
reportables.
Journalism. It's my word for the day.
Yep. You learn something new every day.
No. The word journalism.
Yeah, you learned it today.
No.
Glad you figured something out.
Wow, you're on a tear here, Alex.
You are.
Yeah, let's go.
Salty.
I gotta keep you on your toes, man.
No, I'm just gonna go to bed. I'm just gonna leave. You can.
That's
can do the
literally
rest
what Joel said. He goes, "You just gotta keep getting on his toes. If you keep him guessing, he'll never know what to do."
I know exactly what to do, and that's to go through the rumor mill here.
Yeah.
Persona 1 and 2 remaster incoming.
I think that this is very exciting. I would like to play these in a new kind of remastered format with a little bit of like a quality of life improvements. From the rumors, they're not going to do a full Persona 3 upgrade. They are going to be doing just like a coat of paint, maybe some like leveling up, lower the amount of combat type. Quality of life systems in there, save a lot more frequently, etc., etc. But
you don't need those saves. You can save on your own.
Yeah. So, but there is also the rumblings, of course, of a full like Persona 3 Reload remake of Persona 4 Golden. But that's not what the news this week was about. It was about that they are like it's coming. Like Persona 1 and 2 remasters coming. And the thing is, though, is that with Persona 6 kind of on the horizon, the original thought process was that Persona 6 comes out 2025. next year, but if it gets pushed back, then to throw out Persona 1 and 2 Remaster in its place.
Oh, yeah? All right. Yeah. If that's what people are saying, must be true. Favorite part of the podcast? The freebies?
Freebies!
Moving on to the freebies. Go check out these games where they're located so you can get them for free. Play them.
Give it a gap for the sound effect.
No.
Thank you.
Let's do it. You just cut my track. Just close the whole thing. All right. Town of Salem 2 on the Epic Games Store.
Town of Salem 2. Step into the Town of Salem. A realm of mystery and deceit awaits. Join us in the thrilling online strategy game. Experience paranoia, taste triumph, and confront murder in every move. I don't know why I want to experience paranoia. That sounds less fun. This seems to be... I'm trying to get a gauge on what this game
is. I have no idea what it is.
I have no clue. I tried looking at it, too.
Yeah, I'm trying to see, like, what is this game?
All I see is, okay, like, it looks like pictures like murder. Combat. The next picture's like, accuse and survive. And then I'm like,
I think this is a visual novel that does the... Because there is, like, a genre of, like, you know what I'm talking about? The deduction games? Among Us?
Yeah, I don't know that that's what this is.
No, there's a genre of visual novel Among Us-style games that are single-player. So the gameplay ends up being you going through the visual novel and then deducing pieces of information, choosing different conversations to get data out of people, and then being put on the stand to, like, say, I accuse this person. And you can go through the whole game and get different endings.
All right.
So that's my theory.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's not. But I do know that the other Epic Game Store free game is The Big Con.
The Big Con is a kind of angled down game where it's an adventure game. You go and interact and solve people's problems and quests. Pickpocketing and also figuring out how to steal stuff from people and give it to other people to complete your quests as you try to travel across I think it's across America.
Yeah.
And it is very 90s highlighter color cartoon, like Saturday morning cartoon style game.
Okay. Next one. Klaus Veens Treason. This is a weird one, so that's Klaus with a K. Veens Victory Echo Echo Nancy.
Yep.
Treason. That's a weird name to me. What do we got, Alex?
An online game of teamwork and betrayal for 6 to 16 players as Italian mobsters. You're Italian mobsters, first person shooter, but also it is grab the loot and get out.
Ah. Got it.
Yep.
Next one, we have The Balcony over on Steam.
You ever just, like, throw stuff off a balcony?
No.
Well, now you can.
Maybe.
All right. You sold me.
It is a challenging yet satisfying physics-based game. The game consists of two gameplay types, the campaign and zombie mode. And you're dropping stuff on people's heads. Yeah. For morality points.
So confused, but yeah. Last one that we have for this week is Bendy Secrets of the Machine over on Steam.
So Bendy and the Ink Machine is a series of games that are kind of first person puzzle, but they have jump scares in them. You know, like a Five Nights at Freddy's or something to that effect. Bendy's Secret of the Machine is the ramp up to Bendy 3. So they released this kind of free game where you go around, explore the environment, solve puzzles to get one of four different endings. The whole thing can take like 20 minutes, but the idea is still there that you're trying to get the introduction to the story of Bendy 3. So this is more of like an intro game that they put together for anybody who want to get the start of the story and lore of Bendy 3 before it comes out.
Cool.
Yep.
All right. Well, that's how I live my life, with a pocket full of guacamole. I don't know who wrote that. Time for a break. Back with the backlog blog, where Alex pretends to play games, but mostly he just yells at me. All right, this week I'm just going to talk about Final Fantasy VII, just for you, Alex.
That's not how this works.
Yeah, that's exactly how this works. But I'm much more interested in the experience that you and Robin had with Princess Peach Showtime. So tell me, did you go and purchase the full version of the game following the excitement that your youngest had with the demo?
We have not. We have now completed the demo twice.
You have? And she's content with just playing the demo.
She's so happy right now. I want to buy the game. So, all right, so the thing that I don't want to push stuff on my kids, on my kid. So I just kind of let her discover whatever she wants to do, and I encourage that way. I don't play video games around her. I don't really have it around. It's not like a thing. But her cousins get a lot of screen time, which she does not. But whenever she goes over there, she sees them having screen time and is very curious. And I'm fine with that. You know, kids on the playground, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And that, you know, of course, the Mario movie, right?
Oh, yes.
Did wonders.
Wait, the Mario movie? Who voiced Mario in that?
That's some unknown guy that no one really likes.
Okay, weird. Just double checking.
He's real religious. He's real religious. So either way, she had just asked me out of the blue, hey, I want to play video games. And I was like, wait, what? Like,
how did you find out about these video games?
How do you know that word? And you know, it's like,
I learned from watching you.
I found it from you. Yeah.
I want to do adjacent stuff.
Her cousins, and so
yeah,
she said, I want to play video games like they do, and I was like, well, okay, and I kind of went through the catalog, and I had a plan, but actually, on a whim, I was like, well, she's a little younger than I thought I needed to have this plan in place, so I was like, well, I have this, you know what, let me download the Princess Peach demo. I heard that was pretty simple. And we did. She was controlling it for a while, and then she got kind of tired. And then at a certain point, she asked for a different controller. So I gave her my broken Xbox 360 controller. And she loves it. She's so happy that she has an Xbox controller that's red.
Uh-huh. And you played while she held the controller? Okay.
Yes, but we're kind of still making it a learning experience. So she's doing like letter recognition.
Okay,
nice.
So press the A button, press the B button, press the X button. She's looking for them and she's finding them. And she's hitting the buttons kind of, and as soon as she hits the button, I hit the button. So we're kind of hitting it one to one. And Princess Peach Showtime is a 2.5 button game.
Where's the half button come from?
There's a jump. There's an attack that also acts as a parry or dodge.
Okay.
And there is, if you hit the trigger, she poses.
So non-essential to the game, but still adds a little bit of flair.
Yeah. And then what makes the game kind of fun is that she goes to, there's a theater opening. And so she goes to the theater with her toads, and a villain takes over the theater. And she has to go into different theaters and become part of the play.
Uh-huh. Isn't this the plot to Final Fantasy VI?
Kind of. But it's cool because each time she goes in the play, she gets a costume with an ability. So she gets a sword fighter ability. She gets to be Chef Peach. And in the demo, we only have Sword Fighter Peach and Chef Peach. But they also show Detective Peach. They show Mermaid Peach, which is her favorite, which is my daughter's favorite, which is perfect. You know, they give you all Ninja Peach. There's a Ninja Peach. So I think there's like an Indiana Jones Peach. There's a lot of them.
Nice.
And it's only a two-button game. So it's like, well, I could foreseeably do this with her. Me and her could kind of go through it. But I started looking for sales, and of course it's like it's $60, and I'm like, I could find this cheaper, but in the amount of time she's asking me to play it.
You are going to have to find a guy in a parking lot somewhere.
No one is selling it because it came out like less than a month ago.
Yeah, and it's a Nintendo only game. That thing is not going to lose value.
Would take it for 40, man. All day.
Would you fight somebody?
I don't know if I'd fight somebody.
All right.
But it's just it's a fun game. She really loves it. She says it by name now. And then she starts, when you press the pose button, she poses with Peach. When Peach is dodged, she says, "No way." And she goes, "No way." I'm like, "Oh, man, this is all." And I'm not, I was just happy. I was like, I didn't push this. I didn't do anything. She just kind of discovered it on her own. And me and her are just like enjoying this like little experience together. She gets to like feel like she's doing something and feel like, oh, I could be whatever. And it's like, oh, okay, good. I'm glad. All of this is positive for me. Long story short, I'm probably going to pay $60 for this game when I don't want to, because I can't find it used anywhere or find any sales on it. And then she's going to get this on my beat list, or she gets added to the beat list.
Whoa. I got okay, real dark.
Soon. Okay. Okay. Okay.
Let's okay. Take... How about this? You take some of those games that you have, that are just collecting dust, and you trade them in, and you get Princess Peach's Showtime.
I just traded in like four games. I don't know and I kind of was going through everything. I guess I could probably dig a little deeper.
Nah, some of those day ones. Because you probably already beat them. Because you got them on day one.
I just sold back my older copy, my second copy of Persona 5 Royal, so.
Oh, no. Did you also sell back your copy of Elden Ring?
No, because I was waiting for the DLC.
Rookie mistake.
Did you sell back yours?
No. Nah, man, I'm going to play through that game at least three times in my life.
Jesus. I'm just very happy that she got the experience she wanted out of this, and you know, we will continue to have this experience. We have now pretty close to 100% of the demo, and as soon as I can, you know, either I suck it up and just buy it full price, or I find a deal, I'll get it, and that'll be we'll try to do that maybe, you know, half an hour every once a week.
Yeah.
So
that sounds like a fun outlet.
Yeah, and Princess Peach is perfect for that. Again, in the getting to lead her own adventure, getting to train the costume changes, the little catchphrases, you know, and it's storybook. What makes it really charming also is the fact that because it's a play, everything is like sets. So you see the curtain come down, come up, the pose in spotlights, and also when it's like, oh, you're running up a pathway and all of a sudden the boss battle happens, they turn, like you see people turning the scene. So that it's the actual boss battle is on the other side of this set. So everyone does rush out and change the sets and everything like that. So
cool.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yep. So it's got a lot of charm. And I'm really excited for that. So I'll figure out what I'm going to do with Princess Peach Showtime.
Okay. And then I don't know, man. You don't have to talk a little to the left. I can just tell you about the silly mini games that I've been playing in Final Fantasy.
Getty, let me tell you about Little to the Left.
Okay. A Little to the Left.
Getty, how would you say you organize your games?
It's complete chaos. Nothing is organized here.
What about your pencils?
They're everywhere. I got
no, but if you had a set here, of pencils.
I got one over here.
Alec, help me out here.
I have a mug.
No, but how would you organize them?
I have a mug.
Yeah, he's got a mug.
But if you were to organize them, how would
this
you
organize is organized them? For my pens.
I don't how know where this is going. Be? Just tell us what you want.
Would I organize them a little you, to the you, left?
Would you organize them by color, by size, shape?
Why wouldn't you ask about my magic cards? Yes.
Sure.
They're organized by color.
Okay. See, a little to the left gives you a set of something. And then says organize it, and it gives you multiple options on how to. So it'll give you a set of pens. You can put them all in colors, or you could put them by size. You could put them reverse size. You could, and the game accounts for like, okay, this puzzle has four answers. And it's like, oh, okay, so I just click, okay, let's move this one here and move this one here and move this one. Okay, perfect. And then it's like, game's like, great job. And next thing, you know, it's like, here's a group of bases. And I'm like, oh, perfect.
So it's a cozy game, huh?
Yeah. And there's probably like 80 of these or something, little mini, like, oh, here's a stack of things. Here's books. Here's whatever. Do it how you want to do it. And I'm like, this is pretty fun. So it's called a little left because sometimes a cat will come and just like knock some of your stuff out. Like a paw will reach into the frame and knock some of your stuff away. And you're like, I got to organize it again.
I don't know. That's why it's called a little to the left.
That's what the logo is.
Okay.
I'll tell you that. It's a cat paw knocking stuff. And you got to move it a little back to the little to the left.
All right. But just a little bit.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
So that one's just it's just a fun, cozy game. It's mindless. It makes me feel good. So I heard all points in the same direction. That's from the chat. Someone said, why don't you put all your writing utensils in the same direction? Okay. And that makes sense to me. But I point them down because I don't want them stabbing. Like, I don't want to reach in and stab myself with the pens. That's what I say, Darian.
I don't know.
Well, yeah, pointing up, then you'd have a hard time closing the drawer.
Here you go. Question. When you put your forks in the dishwasher, point down or point up?
Point up.
How dare you?
Why? Everything is point up except for the knives. Knives go point down.
Why? Why would you point the knives down?
Because the knives have a cutting edge. The forks are blunt.
If your forks are blunt, there's something wrong with your forks, my friend.
So I'm going to say that you should follow the logic that you want all of the gross stuff to fall down the sides and it can rest on the handle. You don't want any of the gross materials to be on the tip of it because you're going to use the tip of your fork or your knife to puncture something. And then you just get, yeah.
So you have knives up.
Knives up, forks up, spoons up.
Nope.
What?
Mm-mm, not for me.
And do you get into the shower and then wash your feet first? Is that what you're doing here?
I'm not upside down.
Are you? Your logic is flawed, sir.
My logic is not flawed because I'm reaching in and grabbing a handful of stuff. Modern dishwashers have a top rack for horizontal washing of utensils. Yes, that is a fact. But are they pointed north? Or south.
Oh, come on.
Now you're just kidding. Now you're just being silly. And it's east and west anyway.
Oh, God.
It's the direction that the dishwasher is facing. Come on.
I can't escape this.
You did this.
I did this. Because the idea of a little to the left is that you get to organize it however you want. Not everyone is free range. Some of them do have a single answer. But they kind of make that clear. They'll give you like an actual desk organizer with little slots for very specific things, and you got to put them in the exact spot, like slots. And then, but the organizer has shapes, so it's shaped for that object. But otherwise, it's pretty much like, oh, do it however you want, and they have accounted for up to 3 to 4 answers.
Oh, that's pretty cool. I like it when there's more than one answer.
Yep, and also Game Pass.
Also Game Pass.
With the DLC or no?
Don't do this to me.
Yep. He's doing it to you.
I'll be right back.
You know that it doesn't have the DLC included. That's extra. You got to get them Zuck Bucks for that.
That's not always true.
The DLC is a little to the left, cupboards and drawers.
Oh, God. I have to do more.
He's got to do it.
They even do the fountain pen thing. They have a bunch of fountain pens in this DLC. God, oh no.
I'm glad I could feed into this for you.
There's a cat in the sink.
You've ruined his day.
There's a cat in the sink in one of these.
Okay, so that was a little to the left.
That'll take
us to final segment of the night. One last thing. This week's one last thing is brought to you by Joel. Where is he? What's he doing, Joel? My one last thing watched that first episode of Fallout. Man, do I ever want to play some Fallout. Kind of shouldn't buy Fallout on the PC. It's in my shopping cart. And now I have purchased Game of the Year Fallout 3. I'm sorry. It just... Fallout, the TV show, it's the experience. It makes you want to do it. All the kooky, crazy stuff that's going on, the aesthetic of it, it's great. If you haven't seen it, if you're a fan of the video game series, or if you're not really sure about it, check it out. Maybe you'll like it. First couple episodes are pretty long. Hour, at least. I think first one's like an hour 15.
Where did I jump in, Alex, on Sunday?
Three. Episode three.
And what was your overall experience?
I enjoyed it. I didn't feel like I missed out on too terribly much that wasn't kind of filled in.
Okay.
It was actually funnier because Alec generally... not for not Alec, but I don't see you engage too heavily, like sit still a lot.
No.
And like, at one point I was like, Alec, you good? And you're like... Yeah, this is good. You like just zoned in on it. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. Cool. I don't know what you're talking about. I think it's weird, Getty, that you didn't own Fallout 3 on your PC. It feels like, man, everyone at this point just kind of owns that game on PC.
I mean, I have New Vegas, but that's just because I like New Vegas.
I mean, I do, but I watched episode one of the show and I was like, I instantly like installed it on my Steam Deck.
Like, and then you haven't done anything with it, right?
Work has not been friendly to me.
Yeah, you should give it a try. Maybe you'll enjoy it. Maybe.
Yeah.
Just remember, you don't have to kill everything. You don't have to.
No, I don't think it's that. I think that I have to... This will go into my one last thing. I just feel like I want to try Fallout 3 and actually enjoy it, but I feel like I have to... I feel like I have to try to play... Like, I have to role play it a little bit. Because I don't, otherwise playing it as a game just feels too mechanical.
So I would suggest, if you're going to play it and you want to enjoy it, then you should try and follow the story as much as possible and do what it naturally does. If you want to video game it, then you're probably that guy that's like, all right, I'm going out and I'm just going to do everything. And that's when you get caught in the trap of like, I'm going to go from this point to this point to this point, and then you're just trying to uncover as much of the map as possible and collect as much of the crud that is in the wastelands. So yeah, definitely go into it with a plan and try and stick as close to your plan as possible.
Yeah, because I think that like when I was trying to gamify it, I just felt like I was like, there is a gap between the first city, which is like the one with the nuke in the middle, and then Rivet City,
which is another city,
but they're like far apart. And like the once you kind of finish Megaton, it says go to Rivet City, and there is a lot of stuff that can happen in between. But at a certain point, I kind of just wanted to get to Rivet City, and so I just said, okay, you know what, I'm walking and ignoring everything. Yeah. And it still took me like 2 hours and I was bored out of my mind, and I got to Rivet City and said, I don't know if I need to continue. So I think that I need to role play it a little bit more and put myself in a position to think like, oh, okay, this is, you know, I'm going to go on this long, arduous journey and I'm going to avoid roads because I want to avoid those guys. But also, you know, I'm going to put myself a little bit more into it. Because I feel like the show is what I want. I want a curated story that in that world, and I don't think the game does that for me.
It depends on how you play it, too.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is I think that I should try to play it differently. Because like, I've had this experience with almost every Elder Scrolls game, or just Bethesda game for the most part, like, you know, Elder Scrolls and Fallouts and everything. And I've tried them all, but I've always felt the same thing. I think that the one that didn't get that I kind of started really getting more into was Morrowind, because I felt like that was D&Ding it hard.
Yeah.
There were so many things that I couldn't control. Like, you know, people just wake you up in your sleep. You know what I mean, though?
That's like real life.
But I'm saying is that people just wake you up in your sleep and they're like, by the way, this just happened and I could have murdered you in your sleep. And it's like, wait, what just happened? And because of that surprise element, it felt more like a living, breathing world than a mechanical one.
Yeah.
It felt like I could, like, you know, the classic Morrowind story, right? You walk around a corner and a guy falls to his death and you're like, what just happened? And you find a whole story about how he learned how to teleport. He teleported himself into the middle of the sky or something and killed himself. And I'm like, that's cool because I just experienced it naturally.
It's cool because I also did the same thing.
But the world is living and breathing, yeah. Right? And Morrowind or Skyrim and Fallouts and all that stuff didn't feel that way to me. It felt very mechanical. I could see the gears turning. And I don't like that. I want more unexpected. I want to pretend like I'm there. And I think that if I do that with Fallout, which is the plan, I might have a better time with it.
I don't know. I kind of enjoyed some of the clownery that happened in Skyrim, where you'd just be like walking down the street or in the middle of nowhere, and then some random person would run up to you and be like, hey, you know about them vampires? Like, what? What is even happening? And then you could start like the vampire storyline or whatever. All right, we got off on a tangent. Alec, what's your one last thing?
So I've got about 11 hours in on Spider-Man, and according to how long to beat, main story is between 17 hours and 22 hours. Mm-hmm. So I'm about halfway through, worst case scenario. I'm going to start plugging back in on it because I really enjoyed that and need to beat it.
I think the one thing to remember about that is that I wouldn't look at it that way.
You should play that game for as long as it is fun to you, is what he's saying.
Oh, yeah.
You do not have to do
everything. Yeah, I just think that like I spent so much time literally just like swinging around for funsies.
Yes, and I've done a fair amount of that. And at this point, it's a matter of, okay, now I've done all the things I want to do. Now I want to complete the story.
Yeah, and I think that that's kind of where I'm at, is that I think that, like, it's if you kind of go in there with that kind of goal, it's gonna feel like a slog. And I don't, and that game is too, don't disrespect Spider-Man like that.
Because I would never.
It's so fun, and it's just a good quality experience.
That one gave me the feels, so.
I'm not super into DLC stuff, and I 100% at every single DLC that the thing came out with, and I'm waiting for Spider-Man 2 DLC. Like, I don't want to uninstall Spider-Man 2 because I'm waiting for that DLC.
Well, I've got that and then Miles Morales to keep me company when I finish it.
Oh, yeah. And also, very good. At a certain point, I just like Miles Morales better.
Ooh.
His powers are much better.
I wish that story was longer, but
I think it was long enough, especially to get the platinum. You have to do it twice.
Yeah, well, that's why it felt longer, but yeah. You know. All right, we're good. Feel good. Confident in the product that you put out this week.
That's a show.
I don't know. All right, that'll be it for this week's episode of Super GG Radio. Before we go, you can find us on Twitter at Super GG Radio. Oh, I did it. I didn't mean to say that. Oh, well. And twitch.tv/SuperGGRadio, where Thursdays, much like tonight, are podcast night. You can come by, hang out with us, listen to us, interact with us. We like when you're here with us. All right. Wednesdays. Alex is still playing Monster Hunter. Not sure why, but he's eventually going to find the why there's a sun. I don't know. What is it called? Sunbreaker?
Oh, I'm in Sunbreaker. I'm trying to finish Sunbreaker.
He's trying to break the sun.
Yeah. And I'm really enjoying the back half. I mean, the game's getting more and more intense. There's more and more. I'm at the min-maxing portion where now it's like, oh, by the way, your weapons now have gem slots, so might as well start crafting some gems and then slotting them perfectly for exactly what you need, and et cetera, et cetera. I'm in the nuance now, baby.
Now you have to go get gems. Where do you get gems? Get them out of the monster's mouth.
I'm studying builds, man.
Aren't those just called teeth?
Yeah, they're called gems in this.
You also get teeth. I could show you some teeth. You want to see some teeth?
No. No.
Show you some teeth.
No. We don't want it.
That devil saw her.
I don't like it.
Did you see Devil Sword in Monster Hunter Now?
The guy with the weird face.
Yeah, they'll show you one monster and all of a sudden it just says, nope, psych, Devil Sword.
Yeah, I saw it.
It's messed up.
I didn't like it.
It's messed up.
He's got a weird chin. Let me just say that.
Yeah, that's true.
It's inappropriate and we can't talk about it on the podcast. And then, last but not least, Mondays, Joel is being the bad guy with Mass Effect. He's a bad guy.
You don't kill the Arachnid Queen and come out clean.
Well, will he continue? He better. He's got to make it to the end. I want to see what he does.
And then on top of that, we're also starting to fill in some slots with some downtime Vampire Survivors. Joel's relaxing. He's enjoying himself with some Vampire Survivors. Epilepsy warning for how bad ass he is getting in Vampire Survivors. Because that screen's messed up, man. I don't know what's going on.
It's just honestly, flashing lights everywhere.
It just scares me. Yep. It just scares me. It seems like a Kanye music video, and I don't respect that.
Please be careful if you're going to watch. All right. If you'd like to reach us with questions or input, our email address is mail@superggradio.com and provide us a review on iTunes or the podcast app of your choice. Thanks for listening.
Check out our reviews of Children of the Sun and The Invincible on our website. More reviews are coming.
Are they?
Yep.
Where are they coming?
I think he's got one more. He's got at least one or two more in the can.
Said he's got three, right? No.
No, those are previews for a different website. He has two reviews close to done.
What website?
He's on a tear, man. He's on a tear.
This is our podcast. Inappropriate. Okay. Yeah. Thanks for listening and good game, Alex.
GG Getty.
Good game, Alec.
Good game.
And wherever you are, Joel. I guess good game.
I like to think that he said good game back.
He didn't. He said bah, 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 and walked away.
Okay.
As the rumor mill rages on, Alex continues to press his advantage against the Getty Brigade. Will Getty make more Tim Allen noises? Can Alex save Keanu Reeves from Sonic the Hedgehog 3? And will Alec buy Alex a hentai hat? Find out next time on Super GG Radio.